So we're in this little series called Mind the Gap. And as I said last week, I was told that's English, not Canadian. So I'm teaching a little bit of English now as well. Mind the Gap. But you all know what it means. So that's the good thing. So we started last week and we said, mend the gap. And when we spoke about mending the gap, we were talking about healing a relationship with someone that I'm struggling with. And we said three things. We used the acronym GAP. We said, when there's a gap between me and another person, the first thing I need to do is I need to go to that person. Go in person, go to the person, go only to the person and talk about this. When I go to the person, the first thing that I start with is the A, is to admit my part in what is breaking the relationship and not accuse, because accuse says you, admit says I. And then we said the third thing we need to do to heal the relationship is to do the P, which is to pray. Oh, there we go, Ted. You even have the one from last week. Holy smokes. Didn't ask him to do that. Thank you. So go pray, because we said to ourselves, how easy is it? Elizabeth, when you're really, really mad at me and you have to pray for me, it changes everything. And we're talking about how do I mend the gap. This morning, we're going to go a little further and we're going to talk about a little wider than just me and a person. We're going to talk about bridging the gap. And I want to talk to you about community. This is a community. So we're talking about community. Usually when we speak about communities, we talk about relationships. And we say community is good because doing things together makes us better. I'm not always sure that's true. Because if we say that better together, it means that community comes naturally to us. Means that community sounds like it's always easy. Means that community sounds like things will always just be good in community. Makes it seem like in community, there's never going to be injustice, and there's never going to be hurt. There's never going to be pain. But here's the second thing about community. Yes, we're better together. There's a little factor that comes in community that's called people. People are amazing. God made us full of grace and love and compassion and care and giftedness. That's how God made us. But unfortunately, there's also the hurting side in us. And the backstabbing side in us, and the injustice, and sometimes the mean streak that comes in us. Remember the old story about Linus and Lucy? They were talking, and Linus said to Lucy, "Lucy, I want to become a doctor." Lucy says, "You can never become a doctor because you don't love humanity." He says, "I do. I love humanity. It's just people that I don't like." But God loves people. God loves us. And He makes us to love each other. But there are people in a community, and that makes it a little difficult. The third thing about community is that community, we're brought together because we have common goals and things that we feel that we can do together. And we kind of lean towards this lowest common denominator that kind of makes us feel that this works well for us. And Bradley, you're going to like this. Here's the thing. What about those in my community that I don't like? That make me angry? That I don't feel comfortable with? That I wish they weren't there? What do I do with them? Because they're part of this community. There's a little thing, and I spoke about this once before, maybe you'll remember. They did this research in the schools, and Scott and Jane, wherever Jane is now, you'll know this. Alan, you'll know this. There's the formal curriculum. math, science, music, all the good things that train us, teach us to go into life and to prepare ourselves for life and school and all that kind of good stuff. But then there's this thing that they call the hidden curriculum. Who sits with who during lunch? Who's in the in crowd? Who's in the out crowd? Who are the good kids? The problem is this, what they found, is that despite the fact that the formal curriculum forms us, the hidden curriculum has a way bigger impact in how we live our lives than the formal curriculum. The thing is this, is a community. And that hidden curriculum does not only function in schools, it also functions in this community. It also works in this community. People hurt each other. People love each other. People gather together in their little group. People associate with their little group. But I come back to my question. What do we do with those who are not in my group that I don't like, that I don't associate with? How do we deal with them? Because we have to. So that brings me to the Lord's word this morning that's going to give us the most amazing advice. But I'm going to warn you right now, this is not an easy text. Not in the sense that it's difficult to read, very easy to read. It's not an easy text because it's a very practical text and it says, go do this. But boy, does it ask a pound of flesh. But if we allow this text to speak into our lives and if we allow this text to become part of our lives, God can change so many things and God can change this hidden curriculum in all of our lives and help us to bridge the gap. So read with me from Luke chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 27. So I think it should be translated a little differently, but it says, but to you who are listening, I say, I think if I go read the Greek, the way that it's written there, Jesus says, now listen very carefully to what I'm going to tell you. That's actually how it should start. Listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Someone slaps you on the cheek, turn them to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Holy moly. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you, who hate you. Do good to those who are mean to you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Anyone here feel like me to say, Jesus, those are really difficult words. Do you really think that we can do that? What about those that we spoke about last week that have poked my heart? What about those that have really mistreated me and it made me felt like just dirt and I'm really not part of that? What about them? How do I deal with that? It's not an easy thing to do. But here's what Jesus says. Love. Bless. Pray. Do good. But how do we do that? Let me try and help you. So by now, we've established that even in this community, all communities have their hidden curriculum. But the hidden curriculum is defined by this thing that we call the dividing line. And for that, I was trying to do the technology, but technology today does not want to work with me. So we'll go back to the old. Someone took my pen. Oh, there it is. I took my pen. Not someone. See? There we go. Hidden curriculum. I'll pick this up and I'll show it around because it's not going to work that well. So let me start. So hidden curriculum says there's a community. But in this community, so I just did a circle. In this community, there is a dividing line. On the one side of this line, there is us. I'll show it to you in a second. On the other side, there is them. And what drives this hidden curriculum is this dividing line between the us and them. Them, they're the people I avoid. They're the people I don't associate with. They're the people that I don't like. They're the people that if I see them coming, I go through the other door. The us, on the other hand, I really like them. I seek them out. I want to talk to them. I want to hear how life is going with them. Sometimes it happens, we spoke about this one last week. Sometimes it happens that someone is on this one side, this us side. And then they do something against me. And all of a sudden they become a them. And we spoke about mending that gap. Today we want to bridge this one between the us and the them. Because we also know how it works. On the us side, we have this wonderful thing. You're good. Look how well you do. You're my friend. We get along so well. And then we make that little list on the other side. Look at how he or she dresses. Look at how they talk. Look at the people they hang out with. And all that does is it creates this huge gap. How do we bridge the gap? How do we change this hidden curriculum? Because here's the thing. The health of a community is not measured by this. The health of a community is measured by how we treat this side, how we work there. And the world has no idea of doing that, despite Dr. Phil and Oprah and all these others that give you easy advice. World has no idea how to change that, how to change the hidden curriculum. Usually what happens in the world, if they're on the them side, it's I'll show them that I can do what they can do too. You hate me, I'll hate you. You hurt me, I'll hurt you even more. You gossip about me, boy, I'll start the fire about you. It's an eye for an eye. Reminds me of a little story. Elri knows I often tell this story. Mom had two little boys, little Billy, who's 5-year-old, and his little baby brother. Little Billy and baby brother were playing together. And Mom all of a sudden hears little Billy crying, screaming like crazy. She runs in there and she says, "What's going on?" And Billy says, "My little baby brother grabbed my hair and he pulled my hair." Mom says, "It's okay. He's a little baby. He doesn't know." So she settles them down, she goes out. Next thing, she hears the screaming, yelling, the little baby this time. She walks in, she says, "What's going on?" Billy says, "Now he knows." That's what we do. An eye for an eye. Because you're them. How's that been working out for you if you've been doing that? How has it been working when I do the eye for eye? When you hurt me, I hurt you. When you're mean to me, I mean to you. Has it bridged a gap? Or has it widened? Has this line just become wider and wider and bigger and bigger and bigger? So here's what Jesus says. Verse 27. Love your enemies. Do we call them them? So what he's saying, and did you hear this? Don't miss what it says there. Love your, and then he uses the word enemy. So Jesus says, yes, there are people that are enemies. But listen to what he says. So deal with it. Acknowledge it, and then deal with it. Because how do we deal with it? So Janie is my them. When I see Jane, I'm nice. "Hello, Jane, how are you?" And I'm thinking, "Yeah, right, how are you?" And we're just nice. Jesus says, stop being nice and start loving. I'm going to say that again. Stop being nice because you're lying through your teeth. And start loving. Now, here's the thing about love. Where are these young couples that got married in this church? What did marriage counseling with me? I always teach them this about love. Love is not a feeling. It's an act of your will. Because if it's just a feeling, today I feel good. Oh, I really, really love you. Tomorrow I feel good. Oh, I love you. And then I don't feel good. Oh, I really don't love you. And then I don't feel good for a few days. I don't know. Oh, and then I love you. No, 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 no. I love you. When I get up in the morning, I make a choice. I'm going to love Elsie. Even if we have an argument. Even if things don't work well. I'm going to love her through the whole day. Because I love her. It's an action. And a choice. So says Jesus, you have enemies? Deal with it. Make a choice and take an action. And then you see the action verbs. Love them. Do good to them. Bless them. And pray for them. There's the action. So just think them through. One of them I did with you last week when we did pray. And I said it this morning. How difficult is it for me to stay mad at Elizabeth if I go on my knees and I say, "Lord, I want to pray for Elizabeth." And remember what I said last week? Not, "Lord, will you change her? Lord, will you make her do this? Lord, will you take that out of her life? Lord, change me. Lord, help me. Lord, let me love. You bring your love into my heart." The same with each one of those. Love. Teach me to love. Lord, let me love Dougie with everything that is in my heart and in my life. Change me. Give me your love, Lord. Help me to bless. Because when I start blessing Scott, and I pray God's blessings on him, you know what happens to me? I am the one who is blessed. Because I see how Scott blossoms because of the blessings that God is putting in this man's life, and he's building it into those kids, and I smile because I can bless my brother. My sister. When they've hurt me, And I can go back and I don't just smile and lie, but I go and I say, what can I do for you and how can I do good? Because you know what happens? We are busy changing the hidden curriculum. We are moving this thing. So Jesus gives a very practical example of this. Verse 28. If someone slaps you, turn the other cheek. Now, let me just explain this. We've got this one completely wrong. First century looked a little different from the world in which we live. And you want to go read about this? There's an amazing New Testament scholar, Bruce Molina, wrote a book called Windows on the World of Jesus. It's a little bit theological, but it's really, really cool. If you go read that, they'll give you all the background about this. So let me explain how this works. You wouldn't just go around slapping people. It would usually be someone who was a figure of authority that would do this to someone who was lower. is there some curriculum somewhere? And the slap would usually be with a backhand. You never use the inside because you use this for all kinds of other good stuff. The backhand would be the slap. So they do the right hand slap. Never use the left hand. Would be an insult to the person themselves. Because the left hand is something that you did not use to eat with. You didn't greet people with that. You use this for other things. The right hand you would greet, but the right hand you would also slap. So Jesus is not saying, allow people to abuse you. And it's okay to go and be abused. Not at all. What he's saying is this. So if they slap you, and they want to insult you, you have a choice of two things to do. You can reciprocate, and you can slap them back, and you can just widen the gap. Or you can turn your other cheek, which will force them to use their left hand to slap you. And that would bring an insult to them and would dishonor them. So when you turn the other cheek, you are saying, do you really want to insult yourself? Do you really want to hurt yourself? If you want to, go ahead. But for me, I would rather bless you. I would rather love you. The same thing with the shirt or the coat. Go read this in Amos. Amos explains it. If a day worker would come in to work, they would take his outer coat. It was to help them that this day worker didn't just in the middle of the day disappear and they didn't have someone who finished the work. So at the end of the day, would get the money and they'd get their coat. Sometimes they would say, I'm going to keep your coat because you need to come back tomorrow. But that was the only coat they usually had. So he says, so if they want your outer coat, ask them if they would like the shirt too. Bless them. Because they will have to deal with that. Go bless, go love, go do good. Because as we bless, as we love, as we do good, the hidden curriculum will disappear and this line will disappear. Is it easy? No. Does it come naturally to each one of us? No. Are people necessarily going to reciprocate that? No. Is that what God expects of me? Yes. Action verbs. Love, bless, do good, pray. But this is what will happen. When I start loving, praying, doing good to them, whoever them might be, whatever the them might be. What I'll start realizing is this, that they, and again, whoever that is, are just people like me who are hurting, who are struggling in their own lives, who are going through difficult things in their own lives, and maybe don't know how to deal with all of this. And they need as much of God's love and grace and care and mercy as I do. And as I bless them, as I give them my grace, as I give them my love, maybe what I discover is this, that there is no us and them. There's actually only us, all recovering sinners in need of God's grace and God's care, and I am the it that needs to show that. When Jesus says, love your enemies, he knows all about that. For we sinned against him, and yet he loved us compassionately. We cursed him, and he blessed us. We nailed him to a cross, and he continued to pray for us. So let me end. The foundational text that we've been using for this, we started that last week, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. For God reconciled this world to himself through Jesus Christ. He bridged the gap. And then he gave us this ministry of reconciliation. John 13:35. By this they will know that you belong to me, when you love one another. So this week, go bridge the gap. Go love, go bless, go do good. Go pray. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer.